Monday morning, it's time for the agenda, which was blown out last week because we were all sort of in post-Bin Laden raid crisis mode. There was special coverage throughout the show a week ago. But it's fair to say that Bin Laden is setting the agenda all over the world. Joining us now to talk about the agenda for this week is Callie Crossley, host of the Callie Crossley Show on WGBH, our partner up there in Boston. Callie, this week will be all about what, in your view?
I say analysis, and that's because of the Bin Laden raid, post-Bin Laden raid. We've moved past events on the ground, and now there's a sober analysis of not only what it means, but what we found there.
And Charlie Herman missed you last week, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. This week is going to be about what, in your view?
Can't we all just get along?
Nice.
We've got China here in the U.S. meeting with the U.S. Leaders, and we also have Republicans coming up to Wall Street to try and check. Can't we all just get along?
Callie, let's hit the Bin Laden story first. 2 terabytes of information, according to National Security Advisor Tom Donilon, was seized in the Bin Laden raid in Abbottabad. He calls it the size of a small college library, but just to give it some scale, it's about the average size of a playlist database of a 15-year-old's Lady Gaga videos. So 2 terabytes is big and small, depending on what's in there. How do you think the White House is going to, and the CIA, are going to parse out this information over the week?
Well, that's you use just the right word. They're going to give us a few little tidbits. I mean, one has been fascinating is that video that now I think most people have seen of Bin Laden watching himself surfing, actually videos, looking at himself on television and practicing to make his speeches. And that just gives you a little insight as to what was going on as a part of their whole plan. I mean, he was a media terrorist, if you will. So he had to look good on TV and he wanted to see how he could improve himself and so forth and so on. What I think is interesting is that small or large, what we learn will be contextual in a way that will just have greater meaning over time. I think so often we wonder, well, why this and why did they choose this way to attack us and what was the underpinning? And we never had enough information. This kind of intelligence, just to give us the context, I just can't imagine how valuable that will be. And that's in addition to all of the kind of very specific information, such as we learned that they were maybe planning to attack trains,
right,
that can be used right now. But so contextual, I think, is the biggest winner here for us in terms of getting that information out of the compound.
And the president on 60 Minutes last night taking a really high profile, and it would seem that even small stories out of this treasure trove from the Bin Laden raid could dominate the news cycle for weeks to come. But, Charlie, it seems like this is the week that the economy roars back. You've got fuel prices really high. You've got this decline in property values noted last week, and the unemployment rate on Friday was sort of a positive. What do you think going forward?
Well, I think there's two things. I mean, if Friday's jobs report had not been, in terms of the total number of jobs created, if it had been much worse, I think the conversation would have shifted away very quickly from Osama to the economy. But I think that because the overall jobs number came in well, it sort of shows that the economy is doing well in some areas. I mean, clearly home prices are a problem. Clearly these high gas prices are a problem for a lot of people. But it sort of is these two prongs for the administration to say, look what we did with Osama, and look, we are seeing jobs growth.
Commodities selling off, though, the dollar strengthening, that is going to affect these meetings with China.
Exactly. It will. And this big commodities that we saw sell off, you know, of all sorts of products from oil and material and minerals. You know, how long will this be? Did it get ahead of itself? Were the prices too high? Is this where they'll hold for a while? There's some talk of maybe gas prices going down because oil prices dropped so dramatically. But they're still up around $100. And all it takes is one hurricane to damage any of the facilities in the southern part of the U.S. for oil prices to just spike again. And we could see gas prices go up. So I don't think we're out of the woods here. So there are a lot of things to be worried about going forward. It was a good jobs number on Friday. Yes, it's worrisome about the unemployment rate going up. But, you know, it might have been a little bit of noise in terms of what we're seeing. There's 2 separate surveys. I'm sure you've talked about that. But, you know, there are some good signs of the economy, but really these oil prices are things to watch.
Let's all just get along, the U.S. and China. That will be on their table this week. Callie Crossley, the floods are a record on the Mississippi River. The power of that river system, once again, showing just how much damage can be done if the rain is higher than normal and the river sort of channels itself in ways that are really breaking records going back to 1927. How do you feel about all of this?
It's 1937 I'm a Memphian.
Wow.
So my sister lives there. She's about 20 minutes inland, which, by the way, is approximately where Graceland is. So that's in no danger, we're told at this point. But low-lying areas are flooded, as people have seen, quite dramatically. And it's quite scary. All of our lives, we were told that the bluff protected us both from tornadoes and from actually this kind of flooding. So we've never, in my whole life, I've never seen the Mississippi this high. It's quite shocking and scary.
Is your family members all okay?
They're all okay because she's inland, but she's monitoring very carefully. They're evacuating people by zip code, so they're thus far not her area, but she's paying very close attention. I think overall, this is just a blow to southern cities right now, or some parts of the South and Midwest, because it comes on the heels of those tornadoes where nearly 300 people died. And I mean, I don't know how any of these communities, given where we are and what Charlie just said about unemployment and how we're struggling with that, can afford to pay for this, frankly.
To both of you, before we go, Charlie Herman and Kelly Crossley, is this another opportunity for the president to be presidential and to be a kind of reassurer in chief on the economy? Kelly, you first, then we'll take it out with Charlie.
Well, I think absolutely. And, you know, he made it a point to go to Alabama right after the tornadoes because he's declaring all these counties federal disaster areas. So, yes, he's going to have to step up and step up big because he knows that the post Bin Laden glow is going to wear off pretty quickly.
Kelly Crossley, host of the Kelly Crossley Show on WGBH, our partner up in Boston. Charlie Herman, final thoughts?
I think it can give him that opportunity, but what he can do specifically in that region is somewhat limited. I mean, this is part of the problem when you have disasters in a specific area and the economy hurt that much. It's hard for the president to hire all those people.
Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and WNYC Radio. There's your agenda. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.